Well, that last tower had everything in it but the kitchen sink. I want to read an email that I got. Here it goes. This is from Ken in Ontario. Hey, George, devoted listener. I work the night shift at a big box store. I have a new employee that has been working with the company for only two nights. And on both nights, he kind of laughed and made fun of the show. Well, after the show last night with a representative of Maitreya, Benjamin Krim, he was in the bathroom sick for the rest of the night. I just got word that he is also called in sick for tonight. I was feeling sick after that, too, and so was the third employee. I know you don't believe in coincidences, so what's going on with this guy? Can Evelyn Paglini, the good witch, do anything to protect your callers the next time he's on? If he's on, by the way. I can't have people taking off sick when they listen to this guy. I thank God he's on once a year. No more, please. I tell you, it was one weird ride with Benjamin Krim last night. One weird ride. You talk about weird, by the way. And let me tell you, first of all, question the source, Weekly World News. But this story is absolutely incredible. I talked about it a couple days ago, and I said I would talk about it at length on Friday, and I will. This is in Iowa. Now, we've been checking to find this farmer. His name is Wirebrush. He's 52 years old, if he exists. But listen to this story. A thunderstorm, apparently, right over Iowa. And a farmer, his name is Eustace Wirebrush. Apparently, he heard something going on in one of his barns. 4 o'clock in the morning. He didn't know what it was. He grabs his shotgun, and in the barn he goes. He says the first thing that he saw were huge wings, and then he looks down and he says there was a man attached to them. He couldn't believe his eyes. He said, my gosh, I'm looking at an angel. So apparently he picks the angel up, which he said was as light as a feather, brings him into his house. The closest medical help is a veterinarian. His name's Dr. Marcus Wellborn, if you believe that. And so the good Dr. Marcus shows up, treats the angel a little bit. Apparently the wings, they say, were real, growing right out of his shoulders. He was young looking, and he had been dressed in white robes. The doctor treated some of the burns he had. Apparently this angel was hit by lightning during this thunderstorm. They patched him up. He thanked everybody, and he flew away. And that was it. Now, I'm trying to get a little confirmation to the story, but so far, nothing. However, I then started doing a little research, and there have been some people who have found angels, and strange things have happened too. So I'm not going to open up a specific angel hotline tonight, but if you have had angelic stories, jump on board. However, I am going to open up a different hotline for you tonight, and let me tell you why. You know, for the last month, I've been talking about how strange people have been acting. I'm talking weird. They're just not reacting right. Something's going on. They're in a zombie-like state. Today, I'm driving on Ventura Boulevard, which is here in Los Angeles. And there was a guy walking across the road during rush hour. Ventura, around 5 o'clock on a Friday, is maddening. You're looking in the front, and you're also looking in the back so you don't get hit. And this guy is not even looking. He's just walking across Ventura Boulevard for five lanes, not looking at all. I'm telling you, the guy is a zombie. He's in a zombie state. He had this look on his face of being dead. I'm telling you. Of course, I've researched zombies, and I always have over the past years. And it's a dead person brought back to life through some kind of a curse or a mutation. It's recovered some vital functions like movement. He had movement. That's all he had. They are near mindless, possessing little reasoning power, and they perform remembered behaviors from their mortal existence. I'm telling you, this guy was a I can't even talk about it anymore. I mean, I was in shock. It was a zombie. So let's open up the lines, including a zombie hotline. Maybe you've seen one. Maybe zombies, if you know how to dial a phone, you can check in. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line, 818-501-4109. And yes, the zombie hotline, 818-817-0021. Get ready for open lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. I've been getting lots of emails from last Friday's open lines. The fellow who called in who had the Walgreens radio, and he is convinced that his mother, his dead mother, has been trying to communicate with him. I'm going to play that excerpt for you once again, because when you listen to it the second time around, it's pretty strange. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, sir. George Norrie. How you doing, sir?
Fine, sir. How about you?
Good. Great show you're having, as always.
Thank you. Where are you?
Cape Coral, Florida, excuse me.
Okay, that's right. What's on your mind?
Well, I tell you, last night's program was really good, and I didn't believe half the mess I heard, but I besides feeling strange, I'll tell you what, I got a headache. I swear, I hardly ever get a headache, and that man gave me a headache.
I, during the first hour of the interview with him, was so woozy feeling. It was incredible. And then as he moved on, I got better. I mean, it's strange. Somebody had sent me a lengthy report today and said, George, don't you know what he was doing? And by the way, he comes across as a nice guy, so I don't want to chastise him for that. But he said he was hypnotizing everyone out there in the Coast to Coast audience, including you. Through his very mellow voice, he had you all hypnotized. And in that state, who knows what he told you? You know, that's not a bad theory.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you something that happened to me. I work security. I can't mention the company that I work for.
Understand.
Excuse me?
I understand. That's okay.
I'm asking, can I?
If you want, sure.
Oh, okay. Well, first, I got to tell you, my partner, Bill, and myself, John, we listen to your show every night, partner. It makes us get through the night. I do patrol all night long at an executive center.
Sometimes the show is scarier than what you're probably guarding.
Well, I have got plenty of sleep that day, and I was doing a 12-hour shift this night when this happened to me. And I was sitting out here like I normally sit by a circle where I can see both angles, left and right, and up the middle in case anybody's trying to come in or sneak in when I'm not actually patrolling.
All right.
And I'm telling you, I had plenty of sleep. I wasn't like dozing off or nothing like that, okay? I don't do that. I'm a retired Marine, and I don't go to sleep when I'm not.
Come on now. What are the odds of your boss listening tonight? So you didn't have to say that.
Anyway, you know, I work for Wagon Hunt. They don't play that mess. So anyway, I'm looking up the road, and I see this real dark silhouette. Now, I've heard you talk about the shadow people and this and that.
Sure.
But I've never seen anything up close. And I'm telling you, I kept telling Bill, and I called him that night, and I told him, Bill, I'm telling you, I saw a shadow person. I said, I was sitting down at the circle by the palm trees, and I'm looking out towards 41, and I see a silhouette, I mean dark, just like a piece of target paper at the 600-yard line. And I'm looking down range, and I'm looking at that at the silhouette, and I said, you know what? Something is there. So I go to move my patrol truck, and I'm talking about I have my flashes on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as I went to move the patrol truck, that silhouette got in. I don't know. You know how a runner gets ready to run when they're at the Olympics?
Yeah, they get down to that crouch.
Right. Exactly. And the arms are kind of like out, you know, like in the running stance, getting ready to run. I'm telling you, as soon as I moved this truck, that thing took off. Whatever it was, I raced up there. It ain't even but 0.2 miles. And I raced up there. I had my high beams on. I have the spotlights on my truck. And I put my alley lights on because there's construction going on. See if they hit in the alleyway, you know, down in the construction area or something. I put my alley lights on and my takedown lights on. I couldn't find nothing, partner.
You actually saw this shadowy figure running away?
Yeah, like it just, like, yeah, as soon as it saw me, I swear, it seemed like it was looking at me. I was listening to your show, and it seemed like it was just, like, looking right straight down the road at me. And I went to move the truck to go see what it is because, you know, being a retired Marine, you know, I'm not going to run the other way. So anyway, I go up there to look, and I'm telling you, that thing just, like, in an instant, it was gone. And was in that running stance, it just was gone, I'm telling you.
You know, in the fact that it was afraid of you tells me volumes that whatever this thing is, it's got to be protecting itself from a human for some reason. It did not want to get found out or caught. I wonder if it's a dimensional thing or what. Who knows what?
I don't know, partner. I have no idea. I live down here in Florida now for 2 years. I haven't seen any skunk apes. In fact, I'm always telling Bill, you know, the only other weird thing that's ever happened in my life, I think I was about 12 or 13. I was doing homework, and I was sitting down in my den. I had bought my parents one of those justice scales, like, I guess it was about three Christmases before, making money on my paper route. You know, one of them things for Christmas.
Yeah, well, those scales, yeah.
Right. And I was sitting down doing my homework, and the scales started to move. And they, like, you know, like clanked, clank, clank. And I went up, woke up my parents, you know, and I told them, I said, did y'all hear the scales moving? And they told me, no, they didn't hear nothing. And my father said, well, it's probably a truck went by or something, and the vibration moved the scales or something. I said, no, there was no truck that went by here, none at all. But I've never seen no UFOs or any other things that they talk about on the show. Those were the only two things in my lifetime so far that I can say were different than the norm.
Well, I tell you, I like the stories. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our zombie hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Mr. Norrie.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of your show. I have to say that.
Well, thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto.
Well, you don't sound like a zombie, so that means you must have a zombie story.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that I'm not a zombie.
Oh, really?
I mean, you walk around every day. You know, everybody does the same things. They react to the same stimuli. They do the same things day in and day out, hour after hour. Look at traffic. You're sitting in traffic. I would say that every one of the single people I see in traffic is a zombie. By your own description, you're saying that you're following certain motor instincts, that there's no spirituality left, there's no consciousness left behind that person.
No thinking. It's just
exactly. It's
just automatic.
Well, how many people walking the earth today qualify under that description?
Probably more than you know.
Exactly. So I think that the zombie description is a little narrow.
Well, you know what? They might need to expand the definition. So maybe this zombies, maybe it's not purely just you're from the dead and you've come back. Maybe you're right. Maybe there are people out there who are real zombies. And maybe the environment has done it. You know, maybe they've sprayed us. I don't know what's happened, but people are acting like zombies.
You know, I listen to your show a lot, and I've heard many descriptions of many supernatural phenomena, and I really don't buy that many of them. I think a lot of people are walking around begging for an experience like that, praying for an experience of any kind that is beyond their description, because they're so bored. Everybody's a zombie.
That's an interesting point. Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wildcard line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Where are you calling from, Caroline?
I'm in Santa Cruz, California.
Okay.
So I'm a native New Yorker.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, you went Coast to Coast, didn't you?
I have gone Coast to Coast.
You sure have.
And I am one of those people that don't like to have these stories, but have had this most of my life. And this particular situation that I was calling about was my mother passed away last year, and we were in this experimental cancer facility in Florida at a university.
Okay. Well, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she's out of the pain myself. But,
I understand.
You know, because I'm not sure those treatments are for everybody. But anyway, the person that headed all the research for making not just the diagnosis, but how they were going to do the surgery and things like that, was of, I want to say he was an African descent, but I think he could be Hindu as well, or even Egyptian.
Okay.
And I had his profile in the sunlight in the late afternoon. I had not met him yet, nor had my mother, because we'd had these other researchers.
Yeah.
So in the afternoon light, all of a sudden, it was this very mechanical facial kind of trance-like connection that we had. And there were these huge black wings and these pillars that were appearing from this doctor. And he was trying to run away into the elevator. And we entered into the elevator, and I just told him that it was okay, because it was some type of an Egyptian kind of I'd say like a warrior angel who was not of really of darkness, but of huge, huge, huge intellect.
Now, are you saying that that was the doctor, or it was chasing the doctor?
No, this was the doctor.
That was the doctor.
Seriously. And I have several other stories that are very similar to that, in that when, and growing up.
Well, hold on. This one's a good one.
Baffling. This is really true. And the thing was, is there was such a calm, and I know from a lot of my Native American experiences and cross-cultural and art, and I know also from when my grandmother had passed away and she had appeared the night in the home, and we had this discussion, and I've had several things like this, but there was some kind of guidance, because I felt that my mother was looking, I think, to find this kind of a way out of here in some kind of faith, because she didn't really have a practicing religion.
Well, but if you had reached out to touch those black wings, would you have been able to feel them, you think? Touch them?
I saw them. They were right there.
Did they look real to you?
Yes, and the pillars around it. And I had to really kind of stop for a moment, because I have a Jungian process portal in expressive arts that I have to be very careful about, because a lot of things I sculpt turn into these things.
Yeah, you're sensitive. You don't think this was the angel of death, do you?
Well, I think there were a couple. If you want to call it the angel of death, that would be one thing. But the other aspect of it had to do with this incredibly displaced creature that was in this body. He looked Egyptian, but if you saw this profile, it was so bird-like.
But it didn't scare you.
Well, no, because there was this incredible calming that was coming by my sort of passage of being able to stand within this energy.
Why do you think it was running?
Well, I think that when you say running, going into the elevator, because someone was either observing this transformation he was going through.
Oh, maybe
and
in
he
fact
didn't
he
want
didn't
want
to get caught or something.
But at the same time, there was something happening, I think, psychically. My mother couldn't see this at all, but she just knew that, and it probably was this angel of death that was preparing me, knowing that, because she was gone within 6 months. And she had died from a tumor they found in the side of her knee.
But if you felt that coming, I think that was the most important thing out of this. But that's the first time I've ever heard about black wings. You know, you hear the white ones all the time. This is a first. Could have very, very well have been the angel of death. Open lines continue. I'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for that call. And open lines all night. We're going to get an update the next hour from Richard C. Hoagland when the Shuttle Discovery undocks from the International Space Station. We're also going to listen in on that Walgreens radio ghost and continue the dialogue. Might have Morgus join us at the end of the program for a few minutes as well. By the way, I want to thank all of you for continuing to make Coast to Coast AM the number one rated show in North America. At night, it is far and away tops, but it's only because of you. So thank you so much. Therefore, thank you, those of you listening on your favorite radio stations around the country and in Canada, Streamlink members, those of you that pick us up on satellite, and also the many chat rooms that are out there, brand new ones popping up all over the place. If those of you like to watch the show and then chat about some of the things and critique it and yell up and down at me, you can do that through the various chat rooms. Then one of the new ones out there, you can join that, is called NightHawkZone.com. That's a new organization, NighthawkZone.com. And, of course, the stable, fantastic Forum Pirates. They've been around a long time, an unsinkable ship there. The ImaginativeWorlds.com, we call them the Explorers. People from Pal Talk, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC. There's an After Dark newsletter club that listens. It's just continuing to grow. To all of you, thank you, and we'll be back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and let's go right back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, this is Derek from Phoenix.
Hey, Derek, what's new out there?
Oh, man. I could talk to you for an hour.
You still have the heat wave out there?
Oh, yeah. It's real humid right now. I got the monsoons in here.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, I got a little story. You said you liked model rockets and all that, I remember one time.
When I was a kid, I love those things, and you know what? Quite frankly, I still do. If I ever had any time, I'd putter around with them, but I had a great time. Tell me about your story.
Okay, this was back about 7 years in the Mesa. Me and a buddy went out, and on the last rocket we shot up, we both kind of looked away and looked back, and it had disappeared. So we figured, well, we looked in the sunlight. We looked around forever for the same. So about 6 months later, we're like, let's go do these rockets again. And I took my girlfriend with me. So we're out there having a good old time. And I'm like, you know, we're not going to lose the last rocket on the last engine again. So we shoot the rocket up. And I'm like, I'm blocking the sun out of my face and all that. It's coming down, and it's got the streamers instead of the parachute.
Okay, sure. So that means it's coming down a little faster.
A little faster. And they're like the helicopter blades, and they're bright orange, and the rocket was blue. It's about 100 feet up. And I watch that thing disappear. From the bottom up. It just vanished in the thin air.
What do you mean it just vanished?
It vanished. My girlfriend went crazy. She walked around this whole dirt field looking for the rocket. And I'm like, it's gone. Me and my buddy were like, wow, I can't believe the first one disappeared. We weren't sure how. The second one we saw with our own eyes. Well, come to be a few months later, the dirt lot we were shooting the rockets out of, right down the street, was a place where they manufactured rocket engines.
That's weird.
That's what I was thinking.
That is weird. About 3 years ago, I'm driving on an expressway in St. Louis, and I'm telling you, all of a sudden, right by my car, we're doing like 50 miles an hour, down plops a parachute and a little rocket. Right on the highway. Now, the next guy behind me, I'm sure, crunched it. But it was the weirdest thing I ever saw. I mean, I'm driving along, and then you see this thing. It just comes floating down. But I had the greatest times with those things.
Hey, and I'd like to add for the ufologists out here and the Phoenix Lights and all that.
Yeah.
As they said, back in like 2001 was like the last time they saw the big red lights in the sky. Well, in the first week of January this year, I came home and just happened to look up, and there was one above my house about a mile and a half up, and it was huge.
Triangular shaped or just one?
Round.
Yeah.
Really big.
Yes.
And it started moving away, and it stopped again, and I started talking to it, and it flashed and blinked out.
You've got something going on in that area. I'm convinced of that.
Well, I've seen many, many things throughout my years here.
All right. Thanks for the stories.
Yeah, all right.
Appreciate it. Anybody else play with rockets when you were a kid? They were great. Let's go to our zombie hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I have something to tell you about zombies. Nothing ever happens.
You're not a zombie. You're a kid.
Yeah, that's true.
How old are you?
12.
Well, and we went through the parental permission, I assume, right, Tom? Yeah, he's nodding at me. Okay, go ahead.
Well, so nothing ever happens around Austin, Texas. So you have to study zombies if you ever want to know anything about them.
I don't know. You got Alex Jones down there. Lots happen with him around, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
All right, but tell me your story.
Well, so in this zombie, I was just correcting you on something about zombies.
You were correcting me?
Yes,
you,
I was.
You, a 12-year-old, correcting me?
Yeah.
A national talk show host?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say wrong?
Well, you see, I have this zombie handbook, and it states that there are two types of zombies. the, like, kind of Caribbean, kind of like crazy voodoo zombie, you know?
Well, I have a zombie handbook, too.
Really? What's it called?
It's called the Zombie Handbook.
Really? I have that book, too.
Well, then how come I'm wrong when I'm reading the same one you are?
Well, you see,
nah, nah.
If someone was a zombie, like the second kind of zombie, the flesh-eating zombie, wouldn't they be eating flesh?
Yeah.
But if they were the first kind of zombie, then wouldn't they be in some voodoo master's lair?
They could be.
So then why would they be walking across the street, like, look, not looking anywhere?
Well, I said he was zombie-like.
Ah,
if you were listening, kid. I'm kidding. I'm playing with you. But that's what I said. When the person I saw walking across the street was zombie-like. I said he looked like a zombie.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's zombies all around these parts.
Do you see zombies?
No, not really. I mean, there's this one dude who walks around our neighborhood very purposefully, always dressed up in a winter, like, outfit, no matter the heat, in Austin, Texas.
What do you mean? Do you think he's like a vampire guy?
I guess.
All right, well, stay clear of him, huh? And keep listening.
All right,
except
I will.
Except when you have school.
This is the only show that has a zombie hotline. I'm definitely going to listen.
All right, you take care. What's your name?
Stevie.
One more time?
Stevie.
Stevie?
S-E-V.
Don't get hot at me. All right, thanks. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
This is Paul calling from Chandler, and you asked me, talked to you earlier in the week about the serial killer incident in Kentucky.
Yes, sir. Yes, I remember that. Yes.
And I'm doing so. And all I can tell you about this thing is this is at least the most very unpleasant experience I've ever had in a lifetime.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, so after the first occurrence, they were all kids between the ages of 15 and 19, I think, was the oldest. I started to have nightmares under the full moon. The second time I had a nightmare, and it was like I could see through this guy's eyes, and it was like in black and white. And this park, this huge park in Louisville, was 800 and some odd acres. You know, it was in my back door. We played there as kids. It was 2.5 miles from my house. It was practically on the edge of the campus of the high school that I went to. And in the 70s, I was a karate instructor with Tracy's International, a well-known Kempo
sure.
school. And I'm very, very fortunate to be there. And of some of the kids that in the neighborhood, one of them, we'll call her Mary, I taught her self-defense. Everybody specialized in something. I specialized in street self-defense. And I'd always taught her that people that are predators, that are predacious on women and children, it's a power play. And at some point, if you can control your fear, and you're going to be afraid, and believe me, I've been afraid many times in my life, scared to death.
Oh, yeah.
If you can control your fear, there's a certain point where they will relax and they'll think they're in power. And then, like it is now, young girls wore wide belts, and I said, just carry a very small knife under your belt buckle. And this guy took out four girls, and on the fifth, and the night of the fourth girl that was killed, it was I told you it was the Grand Alignment. I was so disturbed I couldn't sleep. I got in my vehicle and I went. My wife worked security for a major company, and I sat and played with my radio gear all night long. And I had my Belgian Shepherd with me. Blitzen, my buddy.
And yeah.
Then, 2 days later, the police knocked on the door, and somebody had said that my truck had been seen there, and, you know, they wanted me to take a polygraph. I took the polygraph, and, of course, I passed the polygraph, and...
But they thought you might be the serial killer, right?
They were desperate, and they thought it was possible because I lived in the area and because we had a kid across the street that was just not too well balanced, and he said, well, you know, I think this is the guy. And he later on was arrested for impersonating a police officer. It's kind of a sad story.
Yeah.
And so they were following every single lead. They were very, they were not real serious, but I think it's kind of a scary experience.
Well, and you may have been one of the best leads, I guess, at the time, right?
Well, I don't think any lead. And then when I was down there, and they gave me the polygraph test, and if you've ever taken one of these things...
I've never done that. I've been on the other side. I've watched them with news stories and stuff, but I've never had to...
So I didn't have any problem with the test, but I turned around, and I looked at the polygraph operator, and I said, I told him about, how I felt about this, and he said, can you tell us anything?
Oh, and sometimes I assume, in knowing that you knew that you were innocent, that you think you're going to screw this test up and it's going to come back positive, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, first thing I did, I walked in the room. My father-in-law was a career police officer, and my next-door neighbor, Lieutenant Colonel. And I said, if I fail this thing flat, I don't care. It's not admissible. Get me a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because this was a serious...
What a
serious
nightmare.
It was a terrible thing. I mean, these girls were terribly mutilated. And what the funny thing is, when the two detectives came in, the thing that just finally I just completely relaxed. I had no fear. I said, then you think that maybe the body was transported in my vehicle? And they said, well, it's possible. And I said, well, then take the vehicle. Because I said, you can look on your pants and you're going to find dog hair. And I said, everywhere,
it's everywhere. Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's on me. I said, it's impossible. I said, if you don't want to drive the vehicle down, I'll drive it down. And you can have your lab people go over it. Well, anyway, they asked me if I had any feeling about it. And I said, it's a police officer. And then they showed me a stack of files that had to be 3 inches thick. And they said, these are all jackets where we polygraph police officers. And they thought so also.
Jackets meaning folders to
some folders.
People who don't.
And
that's an old military term, huh?
Well, I'm kind of your age.
Yeah, okay.
We've got a lot of time.
In that case, that's a young military term.
Well, not so young. But anyway, then they asked me if I owned a handgun. And I said, yeah, in fact, I did. I owned a .22 caliber Ruger target pistol. And I said, but I don't believe that's the gun that was involved in this. I believe it was a 9mm police weapon. And it turned out that was correct. And the unusual thing is the head of homicide, which was just highly irregular, came out and shook my head, and he said, I really want to thank you for coming down and talking to us.
Did they know you were having these dreams, or did they think you were a psychic or what?
I told him. He asked me, he said, at the end of the thing, the polygraph said, do you have anything any feelings about this? Anything? No, as far as I know, they didn't know.
But, I mean, was it at that point you told them these are dreams?
I told him I had the dreams, and I told him I felt like it was a police officer, and he said, why do you think it is? And I said, because I believe it was a police weapon, a 9mm, and I said, I believe it's someone who could move freely at night, because it had all happened at night.
Yeah.
And it turned out that every one of these kids had been arrested for some minor thing, and this guy was a special police officer, worked with probation and parole.
Oh.
And he was grabbing
them. These his clients, I guess?
Yes.
Oh,
and he would grab them on the street, cuff them, take them to the park, and that was the end.
Oh.
And, of course, when Mary, again, to protect her name, when he took her at the point where he uncuffed her and he thought he had the advantage, she cut him twice across the stomach, not deep, but long cuts. And
you saved your life. You saved your life with that recommendation.
Well, I'd like to say that, Jim Stewart, my head instructor, Roger Lee, and Hank Childers, and Jim and Al Tracy saved her life.
What finally happened to him?
He is on death row in Kentucky. However, I don't know if he will ever receive the death penalty. He will never see light of day again. They buried him.
Remarkable job. Now, let me ask you this. Do the dreams continue? Other dreams?
I've had other experiences all of my life. And as I told you, I came face to face with a grave.
Yeah.
And, I've had some things, premonitions of car accidents, and then...
Are you having anything now on a big scale? And I'm asking you that for all of us.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I'm having a lot of what what you see. It's like people are asleep. It's like people are in a dream right
now. Yeah, dream. They're hypnotized. They're zombies, whatever they are.
On the road, I see people, they drive right in front of you. They drive right off the road on the shoulder. I mean, you know, I'm here in a rural area of Texas where it's fatal, and I mean, the amount of wrecks like that are astounding.
Yeah, and you know they're not drinking, you know,
No, I mean, you're right behind them, and all of a sudden they're headed off the road, headed out south somewhere, or they roll right through a light in front of you.
Well, do me a favor. If you get any of these weird dreams about big things, okay, not just local episodes, but big things, check in with us, would you?
I will, and do me a favor.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to do something that's taking you into an area that, if you remember, I've talked to you more than once, and I certainly appreciate the forum, is very, very dangerous. Stay in the light, because you're talking about bringing in a group of people that all are in the military industrial complex.
I know it.
And stay in the light, because you have a lot of us out here. We're angels on your shoulders.
You gotta watch my backside when I go that way.
Well, go that way for us.
Okay.
You know, let's get this out in the light. And get your research people to look into the GWEN system, Ground Wave Emergency Network.
Ground Wave Emergency. We will do that. Okay,
and
I got it.
Also, the possibility that the Doppler radars are interlinked by computer, because low frequency doesn't affect human beings that much. I've got a lot of experience with radio, a lot. But ultra-high frequencies and the radar frequencies can. They're very powerful, and they're interlinked. And have your people look into that. But look into the GWEN system.
Well, you know, and that could very well be one of the reasons why, with these electromagnetic waves all around us, I mean, they're all around us, that people could be acting kind of ditzy right now. That could be another reason, indeed. Email me. Keep in touch with me. It's george@coasttocoastam.com, especially if you have these very strange dreams. 2 more hours to go of open lines. If you're on hold, some of you a long time, I'll get to you. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.